This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is the American housing market out of the woods?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, foreclosures in this country fell in half of the biggest metro areas. That's according to real estate data firm Realty Tracks year-end foreclosure report, just out. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
When I first saw the Realty Track report, I thought, hey, things are looking up. Foreclosures in Southern California's major cities fell by at least 17%. Las Vegas, down 7%. Then I talked to Rick Sharga, Senior Vice President of Realty Track.
We can't interpret too positive a spin on that just yet.
Sharga says foreclosure rates only fell because of artificial forces. Some banks declared a moratorium on foreclosures after the scandal over shoddy paperwork. Sharga says others are just too busy to launch any new foreclosures.
The lenders and servicers may just be stuffed to the gills with distressed properties already on their books and already in the foreclosure pipeline.
One bit of genuine good news? Sharka says loans made in the last year or so have a less than 1% chance of foreclosure, so things should stabilize once we get through the backlog. But Sharka doesn't expect that to happen until 2013. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher, slightly. The Egyptian stock market fell 10% today after trading started for the first time since government protests there. Wireless chipmaker Qualcomm reported earnings that rose 39% in its latest quarter. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow crossed 12,000 a few times, but settled just below, up only 8 points to close at 11,985.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. A piece of surprising bad news for Japan. The rating agency S&P slashed Japan's so-called long-term credit rating. That's basically a national credit score, and it could have repercussions in this country. The BBC's Roland Burke is in Tokyo with us. Hi, Roland.
Hi.
Japan seemed to be staying out of trouble after the recession. Why does S&P think it's in trouble now?
Well, the problem with Japan is its debt is already approaching 200% of GDP, far bigger than a country like the United States. And its deficit, the amount it's adding to that debt, is very high too. And what S&P is saying is that they don't believe Japan's going to be able to bring that down over the next 10 years. Essentially, the problem in Japan is this. The country is getting older. The country's population is declining. So there are fewer people to save. So the debt might become unsustainable.
Could this affect the global recovery, Roland?
In the short term, no. What might happen is Japan has to pay a bit more to borrow. But in the long term, some people here and abroad think that Japan could be an accident waiting to happen, that it could one day reach a tipping point. And this, of course, is the world's third biggest economy. So if that happens, if Japan goes the way of Greece, for example, that would have a massive effect on the world.
And why should Americans keep an eye on this? Is this going to help or hurt our economic future here?
Well, any problem for Japan is a problem for the United States because Japan is second only to China in terms of its gold reserves and its foreign exchange reserves and things like U.S. treasuries. So what happens in Japan does really affect the United States.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Roland, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The World Economic Forum continues today in the ski resort of Davos, Switzerland. Among hundreds of corporate and political leaders, Harvard University economics professor Kenneth Rogoff is there. The former chief economist for the International Monetary Fund was part of a workshop looking at global trade and currency battles. Kenneth Rogoff, welcome to Marketplace. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is the global economy out of the woods? Is it time to, you know, start concentrating on reducing debt rather than getting some stimulus to the economy?
Well, I think the recovery has reached a point where it's resilient but not robust. It happens like day follows night. You have a big financial crisis around the world, and a few years later, you start seeing countries default on their debts. But it's usually been an aftershock and not enough to shake off the recovery. But it's one of the reasons the recovery is not as robust as we're accustomed to.
Would you agree that this recovery is jobless? And if so, what good is a recovery at all if there aren't jobs?
Well, there are jobs. It's just slower. When you have a deep financial crisis, things are much worse for a couple of years afterwards, sometimes even three or four. That's what we're seeing. It could have been a lot worse. People forget that. We could have had a second Great Depression. We didn't. But the situation with the jobs is probably going to heal only slowly because we're growing, but we're not really growing briskly.
I want to talk about China sending its largest delegation there to Davos. It's obviously been criticized by this country and others for its stance on what some see as the undervaluation of the UN. What prospects do you see for resolution of this problem? Is it ever going to come to a head?
Not tomorrow. It's certainly not. I mean, the Chinese are very reluctant to do anything quickly. I think our trade issues with China are much broader than that. They include also intellectual property rights. As I understand it, the Chinese president came to the United States with promises like the government will not use counterfeit software anymore, as opposed to trying to enforce property rights around the whole private sector. So it's really a gradual thing, and everyone agrees they should do it. The leaders don't want to do it. It's happening very, very slowly.
Kenneth Rogoff, economist at Harvard University. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And finally, there's a big battle brewing in Dallas for Super Bowl 45, not just between the Steelers and Packers either. The city and cab drivers are fighting over a policy that puts natural gas taxis at the front of the line at one of the city's airports. Regular cabbies are threatening a boycott. The city says the natural gas policy is an effort to clean up Dallas's smelly air pollution. Cabbies say waiting for fares at the back of the line is what really stinks. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The biggest landfill in this country is going to be filled to the brim in just 2 years. It's not like we're going to run out of trash by then, so what to do?
You're literally throwing money and energy into a big pit in the ground. There are dollars in trash. Trash is energy.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're talking trash, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.